Good morning. If you'd like to be turning to Job chapter 3, Job chapter 3. I bring greetings from PNG, and a lot of the missionaries have been thanking me over the, as I visit them in the evenings and have meals with them, and thank our church for their generosity, helping them in different ways, both financially and for the small gifts that we've been able to send over. In particular, this last week, Jalen asked me to thank you all for the money that was sent to him and Angie, and for their ministry there in the Bible College and in their church as well. So I'd just like to be thanking you, and just remind you to keeping them all in your prayer. And I'll be heading over this coming Saturday with Daniel Auld, which some of you have met. And you can be praying for us as we look to finish off all the cladding on the building and a few jobs internally, and he'll be looking to do all the roughing in for the plumbing as well. Job chapter 3, we'll be starting at verse 1. Chapter 3 and verse 1 starts, "After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job spoke and said, 'May the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which I said, a male child is conceived. May that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. May darkness and the shadow of death claim it. May a cloud settle on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it. As for the night, may darkness seize it. May it not rejoice among the days of the year. May it not come into the number of the months. Oh, may the night be barren. May no joyful shout come into it. May those curse it who curse the day, who are ready to arouse Leviathan. May the stars of its morning be dark. May it look for light, but have none, and not see the dawning of the day, because it did not shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide the sorrow from my eyes. Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Why did the knees receive me? Or why the breasts that I should nurse? For now I should have lain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep, then I would have been at rest with the kings and counselors of the earth who built ruins for themselves, or the princes who had gold, who filled their houses with silver. Oh, why was I not hidden like a stillborn child, like infants who never saw light? There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They do not hear the voice of the oppressor. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of soul, who's longed for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they come, and are glad when they can find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, and whom God has hedged in? For my sighing comes from within, before I eat. My groanings pour out like water. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes.'" May God bless this passage to us as we look at this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. I know most of the time we come to church and we'd like to hear some positive things. Who wants to read or hear a bad news first day in the morning? Would you want to? Of course not, right? Of course you would not want that. That's why when some people would go to you, "I have good news and bad news. Which one do you want first?" You would like to see or hear the good news first, of course. But I'm guessing while Jonah was reading chapter 3 of Job, it seems to be not a good news. For parents, how many times have you been asked by your kid or your children, why? And how do you feel when you ask a lot of whys? And how would you feel being confronted with all those things? Of course, it's not easy. And we come to this point now in the book of Job, which is a very sobering, it's very hard to read, because we just don't want it. Like, for us, we don't pray for problems. Oh, who among us try to go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me problems today? Right? We don't want those. Even arguments, men, we don't want to argue. If the wife would say that, okay. Right? That's why we have that person that says, his answer would always say, yes, dear. So today, this might be a challenging passage to tackle, but, well, God wrote this in his book for a reason. And God intends us to know him deeper through this. Let me just read the first two verses of this chapter, chapter 3 of Job. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job spoke and said, let's pray. Gracious Father, loving Lord, you're sovereign in all things. You're the giver of life. You're the owner of everything we have, dear Father. We're nothing without you. Father, as we feast upon your word today, speak through us, through your word, and through your servant. Just hide him behind your cross that you will be seen and not him. Father, we're not worthy of you, but thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died in our stead. That we be freed from our sins, cleansed, and now by your grace are able to come boldly to your throne, dear Father. So Father, just give us wisdom and understanding as we go through this chapter. And let the life of Job be an example for us to focus our attention and fix our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, that's the title. When life feels pointless, I was asked this morning, can a Christian ask this question? Can a Christian feel that life is pointless? I'll show you some names. Can you show them its names, please? What's common with Moses, Jeremiah, Jonah, Elijah, and Job? What's common? Well, number one, Moses. In Numbers chapter 10, verses 14 to 15, he said these words. Of course, that started with verse 10, but let's cut through that verse and look at 14. He said, I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me now. Please kill me here and now. If I've found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. This is like Moses saying to the Lord, Lord, this is pointless. I cannot bear this burden. I mean, the Bible is not putting us a number of how many people were the Israelites, but the number is between 1.5 to 2 million. And that burden was so heavy in Moses to the point that Moses said, Lord, I cannot carry this burden. Kill me now, please. Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 15:10, he says, woe is me, my mother, the one who have borne me, a man of strife, a man of contention to the whole earth. In chapter 20, verse 14, he said, cursed be the day in which I was born, lest the day not be blessed in which my mother bore me. The same thing, Jeremiah said, I wish My mother did not conceive me. Still, because of too much persecution that Jeremiah was going through, even though he lived in a time where the king wanted reform in Israel or in Judah, but then to no avail. Still, Jeremiah said, I wish I didn't die. Everything I'm going through, it's pointless. Jonah. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 3, Jonah said, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. A prophet, someone who knows the Lord, someone who followed the Lord to Nineveh, preached the gospel, and lo and behold, Nineveh repented, and he did not want to see that. And then after all, he said, Lord, please take my life now. My life is pointless. Elijah, one of God's great prophet, 1 Kings 19:4. But he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am better, no better than my fathers. Friends, these are men of God. But it came to a point where they said, it's pointless to live. I have enough. I know it's too hard to comprehend. A Christian, someone who follows the Lord, someone who knows the Lord, someone who deeply values the Lord, and then one part of his life, because of what he is going through, he said, life is feels pointless. Now, please, Lord, I'm ready. And for us, looking at that person, we may judge him and say, where's your faith? It's easy to say those things if we are not going through what they're going through. It's easy to say things that, hey, have faith, be strengthened by the Lord. The Lord is there, which is true. You're not lying to them. But then again, we would not fully understand what they're going through as they go through pain in life. Job obviously cursed the day he was born. Well, among everyone, Job's the only one who's not a prophet. Everyone's a prophet. Everyone speaks to the Lord. Moses spoke to the Lord face to face. That's how the Bible describes Moses. And yet, a time in his life, he said, Lord, this is pointless. This is too heavy for me to bear. Please take my life. You know, with Job, after sitting in silence for 7 days, feeling the weight of everything he had lost, the pain in his body, Job finally speaks after 7 days. Well, we don't have time to go through what happened to Job, but read chapter 1 and chapter 2. That's a mouthful. And just imagine Job right now experiencing all the sores in his body. Just getting a clay, part of a jar, just trying to scratch whatever in his body because it's too heavy to bear. You know, after weeks of suffering and thinking all about all that happened, he burst out the raw, honest anger of being alive. It's safe to say Job would not want his friends to sing a happy birthday to him anytime soon. So that's why, brothers and sisters in the Lord, today, as we look at chapter 3, I know this is sobering. I know it would be challenging. I know there will be a lot of questions even after going through this. But let me just propose to you that every believer can bring their honest and painful cry to the Lord, because doing so itself is an expression of faith in Him. We, as believers in the Lord, can bring an honest and painful cry to the Lord. We don't need to just cover, mask ourselves and say, hey, we're okay. Because sometimes we go to church, we go to office, we go somewhere, even though there's deep burden that we're carrying, we just try to carry ourselves with a smile. With that positivity that everything will be well without facing the truth. Today, as we dive in through Job chapter 3, let's learn three thoughts of Job, of how Job uttered upon seeing his situation, how he saw his situation. You know, this chapter started with Job opening his mouth. After 7 days, his friends were there, sitting with him, not saying anything. What Job was just sitting at as well. But after 7 days, Job's calm demeanor is now being destroyed. He's now bursting out. His suffering is the most personal kind. He is in physical, painful, desperate, miserable condition. I can go on and on and on just to describe what kind of situation Job is in. Sitting there with ashes in all his body so that he would just not feel that itch in part of his body. You know, losing his health so suddenly and thoroughly was very traumatic, and it seemed to have been the final straw. After 7 days, finally, 7 days and seven nights sitting with three friends, now he finally speaks. And let's divide this to three thoughts. Number one, first thought, Job's ambiguous life. He cursed the day that he was born. I know we're always excited with birthdays, right? We celebrate it, but I know Australian, we greet each other a birthday. We sing a birthday. I've seen Kiwis singing birthday more ecstatic. You should see Filipinos. But Job started with this. Curse the day of his birth, ambiguous life. Now looking at his ambiguous life, he said he wished he was not born. You know, his anguish and distress was so overwhelming that Job, in utter frustration and desperation, cries out and cursed the day that he was born. Who would do that? Like with utter desperation because of what he feels, he proclaims that the day that he was born should never have existed. Curse the day of his birth. You know, reading through chapter 1 and chapter 2, we all know this. Job did not know this, but it was Satan's plan that Job would go through this. Because the plan was, the Lord, you know what you're doing, Lord. You're putting a hedge over Job. That's why he's worshiping you. That's why he's good. That's why he's this to you. But remove everything in him, he will certainly curse you. That's what Satan said, right? But instead, Job did not curse God. He cursed the day that he was born. Job spoke in deep distress. He cursed the day of his birth, but he did not even come close to cursing God. Job passed. Job wanted to die. He seemed to have thought of death would provide a welcome relief to the current condition. You know, with problems in life, we always say this, the easiest way, the easiest route is just to end it all. Right? Why go through pain? Why go through struggle? Why go through burdens that you cannot bear? Why not just end it there, right? You know, many people have felt this way some point of their lives. I don't know if you're here today, you've felt that part of your life. Perhaps you're going through it today. You're just not showing it. You know, it is the reason that most people commit suicide, physical and mental painful situations, because they don't see any solution that exists. They don't see a light beyond the tunnel. They don't see a rainbow after the rain. They don't see the sun coming up after a brutal storm. They don't see hope because they think hope is gone. And trouble is so great that it cannot be tolerated any longer. And that's what's happening with Job. He wished that day that he was born, or he wished that he was not born at all. Second, not only he wished that he wished he was not born. Second, he wished darkness would cover all the light of the day that he was born. You know, you could read that in verses 4 down to 7 and then verse 9. Job refers to darkness 5 times in 4 different words. He mentioned in verse 4, look at your Bibles, may the day be darkness. That's the first mention there. In verse 5, he said, may the darkness be the shadow of death, claim it. A deep shadow, that's what he's mentioning. Again, in verse 4, he mentioned blackness would overwhelm the light. And then the thick darkness, as he mentioned that, in the next succeeding verses, you know, Job wishes that the day of his conception would have been a day of darkness and gloom, with shadow of death claiming it, with blackness of terrifying storm. You remember a character in the Bible who was named after pain? Because his mother felt the worst pain in his life, that's why he was named after a great pain. You know his name? Jabez? Jabez was his name? Because Jabez means born out of sorrow. It was a painful kind of birth. And in the olden times, whatever your name is, that's you. That explains who you are. So if your name is Jabez, that means you're carrying that weight that your mother was saying after giving birth. You know what? I went through very painful experience just to give birth to you. That was Jabez. And right now, what Job is saying, he wished that the darkness could have covered the light while he was born, that darkness would overcome the day that he was born. And third, not only he wished that he was not born, not only he wished that darkness would cover the light of the day that he was born, in verse 8, he mentioned even a mythical creature. He said there, may those curse it, and who curse the day, those who are ready to arouse Leviathan. Now, this would be a long day. Those who joined Ancestor Genesis, you might have heard this. A Leviathan. A Leviathan is described as a very large serpent-like, dragon-like, marine reptile or a sea monster that may have been either an extinct species or a plesiosaurus, that's what they said. But then anyhow, maybe just Job saw it, or maybe some people. It's safe to say that Job was even wishing that Leviathan would destroy the day that he was born. That's just to cut the long story of what Job is saying. So everything that he is saying from verse 3 to verse 10 is saying, Lord, Lord, I wish that I wasn't born. I wish the day that I was born was just so dark that it will consume it. And I wish that even the Leviathan would destroy everything on the day that I was born. Can you feel the weight of Job's feeling right now? I don't know really what you're going through today. You've come to church. You have your family struggle. You have your personal struggle. But maybe let me challenge you through God's word. Why not bring your deepest pains to God instead of hiding them? Why not come into a room by yourself. Lock everything, lock doors, the windows, close the windows, and just be honest with the Lord. Job didn't hide his feelings. He told them to God. So let me ask you this question. Which part of your life, of our life, of your life right now that you're pretending to be fine, but actually you're not? Which part? Are we in denial with that feeling inside? Because we're thinking it's okay. I'm going to be okay. Because life says, be positive, think positive, and everything be positive. You know, Job is an example of a person that he just laid down it all to the Lord. He did not pretend. You know, what we need is just to be honest with God, or to be honest with someone that you or we really trust, and just share. Just share that burden to that person. Let's not become a person that would succumb and say, life is pointless, I'd rather quit. Second thought, not only the ambiguous life of Job, but second, the ambiguous loss of Job. He questioned why he was allowed to live. I know there are lots of whys here, but let me share to you five whys that Job asked in verses 11 down to 19. This is poetry, by the way, but this is just a wonderful thing that he just wrote. All the things that he was feeling inside, he just wrote it in poetry. God wrote it in poetry. So five whys that Job was asking here. Number one, in verse 11, look at your Bibles, please. He said, why did I not die in birth? Why? Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? With that first question, Job is simply asking, if I had died immediately, I wouldn't have felt the pain. You see where he's coming right now? He's really in the brink. He's really asking why. Why was I allowed to be born? If I have died right there, I wouldn't have felt this much pain. Second question, he said, still in verse 11. Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? This is the same thought. Why didn't I die before life truly begins? Before everything begins, why did it not stop? The third question, verse 12. He said, why did the knees receive me? Now, cultural context here. In ancient culture, a baby is placed to someone's knees, meant that the child was accepted, welcomed, received into the family. That's what Job is trying to say here. So what he means is this: why did anyone welcome me in this life at all? Why did they receive me? If they did not receive me, I should have not felt all this pain in my life today. Following in verse 12, the same thing. Or why the breast that I should nurse? This means, why was I allowed to grow and live? If I have not been fed, he would not have survived. Last question, verse 16. Or why was I not hidden like a stillborn child? Or Job is asking, why didn't I die quietly before anyone saw me? You know, stillborn babies in ancient times were often buried quickly and quietly. So Job was saying he wished that it had been his story. You know, Job believed death would have been peaceful compared to his pain in verse 13 to 19. I don't know with you. I know This is sobering. This is so heavy. What he's trying to describe of death, death means rest, quiet, freedom from trouble. And basically, Job is saying in verses 11 to 19, if this is what life is like, why did I ever come into this world? If this is what life meant, if this is what living means, why did I ever come to this world? If you ask me, this is a heavy question. I know this is from a person. Now, let's just try to focus ourselves and look at the situation of Job. This comes from a man who lost all his 10 children, who lost everything that he had. And when he lost everything, he had physical problems in his life with sores from his head down to his foot. And now even the wife is saying, don't maintain your integrity. Why would you continue to serve God in your situation? Why not be desperate, curse God, and just let go? So we can slowly understand, not fully maybe, but slowly understand why these words are coming out from this man. Third, not only the ambiguous life of Job, not only the ambiguous loss of Job, but the third, the ambiguous longing of Job, that he seeks death more eagerly than treasure in verses 20 to 26. Four things that we could see here. Number one, in verse 20, again, he asks the question, why does God let someone in misery keep leaving? Why? Why does he allow the person to just go through that pain? I have a friend, someone who I know. And this has been his question to me. His mother is from the States. He's now in Australia. His mother is living in a hospice. Been sick for about 10, 12 years now. And that was his question. Why is God allowing misery happening to my mother, suffering every day? Why would he not give my mother rest? Like every day you go through pain, every day you go through the same thing over and over for 12 years. You know, Job is questioning why he has given life only to experience so much misery and bitterness. He desired to know why life given to those who wait quietly for death, searching for it more than a man would seek buried treasure, death cannot be found. You know, this longing to find death, so he too, like a miner who would finally find a buried treasure, could rejoice having it found. You know, misery that is written here is from the Hebrew word that meant to work under severe duress and inconvenience, reminiscing what happened to the Jews in Egypt. Well, they were making bricks out of straw. And the word bitterness means leanness or unsatisfied, having only a drop when the torrent is desired. That's what Job is asking here. Why? Second, in verse 23, look at your Bibles. Why does God give light to a person who feels trapped? Job, for the first time, asserts that God was the cause of his pain and suffering by having him hedged in. Look at that verse. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? He's like saying he's being trapped. Note that Job, of course, Job in chapter 1, verse 10. Satan was referring to God's protection, the hedge around Job. That's why Job is continuing to serve God. The obstruction in his way. Now Job feels alienated and hedged in as if God has forsaken him and there is no escape from his condition. That's what he's feeling right now. He's hedged in. He's trapped. He feels like trapped in a cave or an isolated area where he doesn't know what's happening. Third, in verse 24, his suffering is constant. His cry keeps pouring out like water. Have you even seen a person that you don't see him or her crying, but tears are just flowing? It's just flowing. The verse says here, "For my sighing comes before I eat, for my groaning pours out like water." You know, Job was crying out rather than eating of bread, and physical and mental intensity of his affliction made him lose his appetite. And his groaning were unending like rushing water of a river or waterfall. And lastly, in verse 25 and 26, what he feared has happened, that he has no peace, but only trouble comes. Look at verse 25, 26. "For the thing I have greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor I am quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes." On top of his previous tragic losses, Job expresses a devastating mental and emotional effect of his illness has added to the burden of physical pain and suffering. The word trouble there literally means agitation. Job is in turmoil. Job is anxious. Job is apprehensive. He is fearful. Job's heart, mind, and soul is agitated, and they will remain the way until he finds rest, peace, so desperately that he longs. That's why he desired death. You know, only those saints in Christ who have desired similar releases from life's pain and suffering through the gate of death can fully appreciate Job's mournful cry. We can see what's happening to him. Yes, we can read through the verses, read through the words that he uses here, but we cannot fully understand him until we ourselves go through that intensity, that kind of suffering that Job is experiencing, that we ourselves would say it's pointless. Life is pointless. I'd rather die. You know, this bitter complaint of a man who is tasting a very dreg in the bottom of the cup of life. Extreme trouble with a capital T came upon him, and he does not understand at all why it should have come. Well, we know the answer to this in the later chapter. But just let us immerse ourselves in chapter 3. If you have a friend like Job, what would you say? What would you tell that person? Would you be able to come to that person and say, "Hey, God is good"? I know that is not wrong. That's right. But I don't think he would like it at that time of his life. You know, let me end this sobering preaching. I'm sorry. Let me end this with life lessons that we can learn from Job chapter 3. I know it's hard to go through this chapter, but let's learn lessons. What are things that we could learn from Job chapter 3? Six things. Number one, God allows space for honest lament. You know, Job's words are intense, emotional, and dark, yet the Bible includes them without rebuke. God is not offended by honest grief. That's why the challenge a while ago was this. If you're feeling the heaviness of life, if you're going through that much pain, let's come to God and be honest. Let's not hide things from the Lord. We know that God understands. God knows what we're going through. It's a way of us having faith in Him that He knows what we're feeling and He knows what we're going through. It is not sinful to feel overwhelmed, confused, or crushed. God invites authentic cries, not fake smiles. You know, even the Psalm of Lament, Jeremiah, even Jesus in Gethsemane before He was taken to the cross, He cried out to the Lord, "Lord, if it's Your will, let this cup pass." That was just an honest, intensive emotion that they were pouring to God. Second, suffering can distort our perspective, but God does not condemn us for it. You know, when we go through suffering, it may cover our eyes of who God is, but just like Job wishes he'd never been born. He is not speaking theological truth, he is expressing emotional pain. He knows who God is. That's why before this happened, when his children were still there, were still alive, he continuously offered to God because he said, "I might not know what my children did something." So he knows that the only way is to worship God in that way. But through suffering, of course, through suffering, he went through this painful experience and even wished that he had not been born. But God did not, of course, God did not rebuke him. You know, extreme pain often clouds our thoughts. When grief overwhelms someone, we must remember their words flow from hurt, not rebellion. This is what Job was experiencing. Those words were not rebellion. It was out of a desperate heart that was so hurt. This teaches us compassion instead of judgment. Compassion is what we need, not judgment. Third lesson. Despair is real, and even faithful people can feel overwhelmed by life's pain. You know, the Bible is not full of perfect people. It's full of imperfect people that God did not sugarcoat. God showed who they are. Just like Job. You know, despair is real, and even faithful people can feel overwhelmed by life's pain. Job's words, "May the day of my birth perish." You know, those highlight his despair. Even the most faithful can experience moments of deep sorrow. You've seen Elijah. You've seen Moses, who was the friend of God. You've seen David, a man after God's own heart. He too went through despair of life. Even those faithful ones can be overwhelmed with pain. Fourth, we need others because community gives strength in hard times. Look around you. This is your community. Christians, they're the best people to share your burdens. But of course, if someone is sharing a burden, don't make it a prayer request to others just to overshare what other people are going through. We are a community. Well, Job's friends initially came to comfort him, their presence reminds us of the importance of community. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Being there for one another can provide strength in times of need. The fifth, God is still in control amidst of the pain and suffering we're going through. You know, I cannot overemphasize this, but we know this. God is sovereign. You know, even in despair, Job's story underscored the sovereignty of God. While we may not always understand his ways, we can trust that he is in control. Romans 8:28, we always memorize that, even murmurize it at times. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And last, God assures us with his presence as we go through pains in life. You know, finally, Job's story assures us that God's presence in our lives, even when we feel alone, God is with us. Hebrews 13's promise is this, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. This is an assurance that God provides comfort and strength in our darkest moments. You know, these lessons from Job reminds us of the complexities of faith and unwavering presence of God in our lives. That's why as we close chapter 3, may we hold fast to this truth and navigate our own journey, knowing that it is not our journey, it is God's journey for us. That's why we can understand David when he say, though I walk in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yes, we claim that promise in times of just fearful times, but in desperate moments, we too can still claim that. God will always be there, even in our deepest, darkest pains. Let's just face it with all honesty and just lay it down to the Lord. Will you do that today? Will you be honest to God today and say, Lord, I'm hurt. I'm feeling despair. Please help me. Please help me. Let's pray. Loving Father and gracious Lord, as we look at the life of Job, it's sobering to listen and even read that a faithful person can be pushed to his limits and just be allowed to bring out his pain, suffering through words. Lord, we may not fully understand what Job is going through, but Lord, if we would come to that moment of our lives, please help us. We know you are there. Please hold our hand. And just remind us that you're there. Amidst the pain, the suffering, you are there. Lord, if someone today is here right now or listening, carrying a burden, carrying a hurt, even to the extreme of wishing that life would end, Lord, speak to that heart today. Lord, comfort that heart. Remind that heart that you are in control. Remind that heart of the good things that you have given him or given her. That you have never changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That you are giver of life. You are giver of everything. And you have all things in control in your hands. So Father, I pray for that person today. I pray for peace. I pray for proper understanding. I pray that his or her eyes would be open to your heart today, knowing that you always wanted whatever is good for us.
for your glory and for your sake. And we thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.